Welcome to 24 Hour Expert, where each week we have 24 hours to learn as much as we can about a new topic.
From international spies to how nachos came to be, everything is fair game.
We'll laugh, we'll cry.
We'll cry? I don't think we've cried yet, but hopefully we'll learn something along the way.
Either way, we'll have a lot of fun.
All right, Al, are you ready for this week's episode?
All right, Aim. Yeah, let's do it.
Are you ready to party?
Always.
Do you know what our topic is this week?
Miley Cyrus.
No, but I could see how you got there. I don't think I gave you enough of a clue, actually. It's just bachelorette parties.
Fun.
Yeah. I was really trying to come up with like a really clever intro, but I realized now that party was mildly generic.
Also, how funny that of all the things party could be, my brain goes to party in the USA.
Honestly, because branding.
Also.
Because they put your hands up. Flame. Yeah, anyway.
Tiny little.
Dancer.
No, what do you call it? Also. yes. But what do you call it when you give a little hint about something that's upcoming?
Easter egg?
Yeah. Party in the USA. Kind of an Easter egg for what I'm going to do next week. Which is not Miley Cyrus. To be clear.
Oh, I was going to say. Okay.
Okay.
Well, now I'm very curious.
Yeah. But that's neither here nor there because we're talking about bachelorette parties.
We are talking about bachelorette parties. So let's dive in. We had delightful bachelorette parties. We've both had this experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This was actually a listener suggested topic, like a real in life person suggested this to me at one of my most recent travels.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, because they were talking to me quite a bit about the increase of cost, because I guess they are currently planning a bachelorette party for a friend or something like that.
I could go on a whole tangent about this, and I don't even have to do any of these parties, and I still am appalled at how out of hand they have gotten.
Yes, they are out of hand. I have some stats, okay. But let's talk history. Let's do the whole thing. I just wanted to set the stage of how this came about because I don't think yours and my's bachelorette parties were maybe representative of the current trends. Oh. And granted, it's been like a decade, so, or more.
I can't believe that.
I know. I was chatting with one of our family members and she reminded me that it has been a decade since, at least a decade since all of these things have happened.
Oh my gosh. I feel like it was like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we are so old.
We're just
old.
Spring chickens. It's still fresh. Anywho, it's not. So let's talk about what's real now.
Okay.
Let's start with the very beginning.
It's a very good place to start.
Thank you. What is a bachelorette party? In the simplest terms, it is a pre-wedding celebration in honor of the bride-to-be.
Yes. I also like how in England they call them hen parties, right?
Hen parties. Yes. Good job.
Thank you so much.
Or hen-do's. Or hen-do's.
Oh, hen-do's. Yes. And then what? Men are stag parties?
Stag parties. Stop stealing my information.
I'm doing this so much to you lately. I'm so sorry.
We know you're the more experienced expert, but you at least have to let me try.
You try away.
Anywho. Our friend, Merriam-Webster, because I did reference the appropriate dictionary this time. I use the term. Of course they use the term as a dictionary. It's supposed to be in there. They define the term. Bachelorette is a young unmarried woman, and bachelor is the counterpart of that, which is an unmarried man. And then party is obviously a festivity. So we're just putting two things together. It's not very technical, but it is the pre-marriage way of addressing a male or female individual. In England or in the UK, in the general European space, mm-hmm. hen-do's are bachelorette parties, and then stag nights or stag do are bachelor parties.
Very cool.
So I did a little bit of bachelor research because, as in all things in a patriarchal society,
right,
men had these parties first.
Gross.
So the very first known bachelor party traces back to 5 BC.
Wow.
They are started in the prominent warrior civilization of ancient Sparta, where a feast was held to honor a groom the night before his wedding.
Okay.
So bachelor parties go way, 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 way back.
Right.
Bachelorette parties started in essentially the 60s, which we'll get to.
What?
Of
the 1960s?
The 1960s, yes.
What?
Yeah.
That's appalling.
Yeah. It is appalling.
I was going to be appalled because I was like, oh, she's going to say like 100 years later or 200 years later. Not an eternity later.
It's significantly later.
A bit.
Well, let's talk about why. So, obviously, bachelor parties is just benefiting the men.
Right.
But the tradition that started taking place prior to that for women were bridal showers.
Okay.
So, in today's more modern era, a bridal shower is often seen as like the more formal, buttoned up, like invite your great aunt kind of an event.
Right.
Whereas a bachelorette party is often seen as like the let loose with your friends, have a little bit more like
crazy time.
Crazy time, yeah. But obviously bridal showers are still very important traditions or can be seen as such.
Right.
But bridal showers were actually more common for other eras of brides,
okay.
Right?
Okay. So I feel a little bit better knowing that they had something.
Yes. So the original bridal shower is traced back to the 16th century for women. So still significantly later.
Okay, yep.
But not the 1900s. So the original bridal shower tradition was that ladies would drop small gifts into a parasol and the bride would open the parasol and be showered with gifts.
That's cute.
Its original origins can be traced back to Holland in the 16th century when the event served as a way to bypass the dowry system in case the father of the bride refused the dowry or the groom was too poor to pay the dowry. So the expert Keith Willard from Keith Willard Events says that a poor field worker who fell in love with a society girl, her friends would essentially help by offering her gifts to ensure that the two could fulfill their dream of getting married, even if the dowry was declined.
Interesting. I've heard of the dowry thing. I'm not well versed in how it worked, but I know it was a sort of payment system.
Yes.
Also, feel free to steal this idea, everybody. How cute would it be to take an umbrella, parasol, whatever you have. And you know how people usually like write advice for the bride or the couple? You could put it in the umbrella and then she could open it and be showered with advice.
I mean, please take these suggestions. I 100% support that.
Somebody then got to pick them up and put them in the jar so she can take them home. But how freaking cute.
It's adorable.
It would be so.
We 100% support.
Instagram, Reels, TikTok worthy.
I do like the idea that even women in the 16th century came together and essentially was like, we'll give you little gifts to make up for what your father will either not accept or your new husband cannot
afford.
Support.
Yeah.
I just think like women helping women.
Hell yeah.
You know?
Hell yeah. I love it.
And like you go live your dream with your poor farmer guy. That's his words, not mine.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think he said poor farmer guy. That was poor choice of words. But
we understand. Yes.
It's silly to pay for your hand in marriage. I get that it was a thing. And if you still do that, I'm going to stop. These feel like digging holes. That's where it started.
It makes sense.
You do you is my main message here. But also, I am very proud of the women for coming together and showering their friends in gifts.
No, I absolutely love that. Love that.
In summation, yes. That is all I'm trying to say.
Yes. Yeah. We're not going to read too far into it. Don't worry.
Yes. So thank you for joining me on my side quest into bridal showers. But we're going back to bachelorette parties.
Woo.
I do think we may circle back to this topic at some point for a part two for other bridal traditions.
Oh, that would be fun.
We'll see how this one goes first. So anywho, bachelorette parties really didn't start seeing a pickup in activity until women's liberation movement of the 60s.
Okay.
Because, again, this is like our let our hair down, have a good time kind of activity.
Right.
So I couldn't find any like singular source of like when they started, who originated them. It just became an opportunity to have a more relaxed party with your friends when you were kind of in the heat of wedding planning.
Right. Okay.
But I do have a bunch of statistics about bachelorette parties and like the most popular places, the most popular themes, and then just kind of the cost in general. So we're kind of going to go into the bachelorette party arm of data, if you will.
Nice. So I have a fun fact for bachelorette parties.
I'm ready.
So anyone who are Bravo fans, specifically Real Housewives franchise, if you like the Real Housewives of New York, the OG cast, Ramona Singer, who is part of the OG cast, her daughter Avery runs a company that will plan your bachelorette party for you.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I thought that was a clever idea. I mean, again, I think they're getting out of hand, but very clever on her part.
So have you heard of the people who do bridesmaid for hire? And you can, like, hire this person to be your bridesmaid, and she will take the pressure off of your, like, more traditional, for lack of a better word. Like, essentially the people you would naturally pick to be your bridesmaids. But she'll, like, plan your bachelorette and, like, make sure everyone gets their dress fitted and send the reminder emails and, like, essentially be your, like, everything coordinator, but it's, like, a bridesmaid for hire.
Does she stand up in your wedding?
Mm-hmm.
So how's it different than, like, a wedding coordinator? Like, she only coordinates bridesmaids. She's a bridesmaid coordinator.
Yeah, and she, like, takes the stress off everyone else. I don't know. Apparently some lady on the internet, please take this as not expert, Amy. This is just me telling you things I learned in my life. Like, made a really successful business as being a bridesmaid for hire. And she just goes in and she literally acts like one of your best friends, makes sure everyone's doing well. She dotes on you the day of so that your friends can go get ready and, like, stands up there and makes sure from the position of a bridesmaid that your day goes good.
I feel like I would be really good at that.
I think you'd be really good at that. You were top tier bridesmaid. Would suggest 10 out of 10.
I feel like I've got to be a bridesmaid. So I've got to be a bridesmaid 6 times. I've had the honor of being the maid of honor 3 of those times. And I feel like I've done a decent job.
You're very honorable.
Thank you.
Literally.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, as a person speaking from experience, since you were my maid of honor, crushed it. Nailed it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I highly recommend. I'd like to think that I started that trend. Although I don't think you were.
Yeah. No, you did.
I think other people got married before me.
I was just a regular bridesmaid, though, for them. For you,
not for
you were my first maid of honor.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yay me then. Good job, Amy. I really made sure that you were in shape for all of
I was going to say, activities. If anything, you probably had the worst experience because you were the first and I just stepped up my game every time, but I still think I did a decent job. But I also like to organize and be in charge of things, so it's not out of my personality realm.
It's not. You did an excellent job. Like I said, you crushed it. I would like to go back and do being made your maid of honor again because I am a far more organized, but also I could have done all the things I really wanted to do but had limited budgeting for now. Like now that I could like do all of the cool stuff I wanted to.
I know.
I think it will just throw you another bachelorette party someday.
I think about that too. Like, I'm just like, oh, now things are a little bit easier and things are getting better and more well off. Like, I would just like to go crazy on some of the stuff I wish, like, in my 20s I could have gone crazy on.
Yeah. I'm just saying we're in different parts of our lives. So we could have just actually showered. Oh, no, that's a bridal shower. I was going to make a pun. We need to move on.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Give me your stats.
We've spent too much time here. So the top 7 themes that I could come up with. Now, this is not the scientific part. This is me just finding a bunch of data and pulling it together because I couldn't find stats on like the best things to do at a bridal party. But the things that came up most often in my research, in order from top to least.
Okay.
Spa day came up first. We're all going to get manicures, pedicures, hang out at the spa, whatever.
Okay.
Winery tours came up second.
Not a shocker.
Winery / pub.
Yeah.
And also like the pedal bike ones. I'm grouping alcohol tour.
Okay.
As one. General partying, meaning clubbing, we're going out, we're getting dressed up, we're going to spend the night bar hopping and like dancing and stuff like that.
Beautiful.
Still a classic. scavenger hunt came up a ton.
Interesting. That would be fun.
Which seems like a lot of organization, but I think you could nail that. The one that I think you and I will both, although I do this, I wouldn't have picked it for my bachelorette party. Camping has apparently really picked up speed.
Gross, no.
Camping or glamping. So we're not talking like 6 mile hiking. We're talking like...
Oh, glamp, yes. Camp, no.
Tiny cabins or, you know, rustic but electrified dwellings.
If there's electricity in a toilet, fine. But that's it.
And then I just kind of grouped it because I didn't know how else to do it, but like traveling. So like destination, like we're spending weekend, we're going elsewhere, we're doing whatever.
Okay.
And then the last one was like anything creative. So like flower making, pottery painting, picture painting, any kind of like crafty thing that we're all going to do as a whole.
Okay.
Are kind of the top genres of current bachelorette parties.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. And then we're going to play a little game and see if you can guess some of the top locations for today's modern day bachelor parties. In fairness, I have the list of United States destinations. So in the United States, okay. What would be your guesses for top five bachelorette destinations?
Nashville.
Yes, that's number two.
Miami.
Number three.
Chicago.
On the list, but farther down.
Okay. Boston?
No. Think glitz and glamour.
New York?
New York is number five.
Hollywood?
No.
Glitz and glamour. New Orleans?
New Orleans is on the list a little bit further down. That's number seven.
I feel like I'm...
Vegas.
Oh, duh. You know why it doesn't come to mind? Because I hate Vegas. Sorry, Vegas. All right,
if we have Vegas listeners, it's not about you.
I, to be fair, I shouldn't say I hate Vegas. That was not fair. I've only been once. Just not my type of vacation.
It's not your type of vacation. That's fair. Vegas is number one. It's the most popular bachelorette. Number two is Nashville. Miami is number three. Austin, Texas is number four.
Would not have guessed that.
New York City is number five. Charleston is number six.
I might have guessed that.
New Orleans is number seven. And then on my list, they list Savannah, Georgia comes in, but they don't rank it like the rest of them. It just says 5% of American bachelorette parties are celebrated in Savannah, Georgia.
Okay.
And so my other stats... around bachelorette, which were actually really easy. So shout out also to The Knot, who had a bunch of this information, and also Gitnux, which is some of the data. Shout out to them for gathering all of this. It was super delightful to kind of peruse their creative ideas for bachelorette parties.
Nice.
Although, again, not things we're planning currently. So over 350,000 bachelorette parties were held in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico in 2018.
Not surprising.
Nearly 5% of all bachelorette parties are celebrated in Chicago. So again, down the list somewhere, but not our top ranking.
Okay.
Ibiza is the most popular bachelorette party destination outside of North America.
That makes sense.
Barcelona ranks as second amongst the most popular European bachelorette party destinations.
Not surprising.
14% of all bachelorette parties are held at wineries and vineyards.
That tracks.
Palm Springs, California is popular for bachelorette parties. 3% of all parties are held in the U.S. in Palm Springs.
I figured there'd be some California places in there.
I'm surprised, although I guess Palm Springs tracks. I'm surprised Napa's not on the list, but I guess if we're talking wineries, maybe it's just lumped into some of those things.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah. 10% of all bachelorette parties take place in tropical island locations like the Bahamas and Jamaica. I would just like to talk about the fact that we are like now, I mean, again, I get it if you live in Europe and you hop over to a different country, that's a very different experience than like if you live in the United States and you're going to Jamaica.
Right. Yeah.
Like that's a full on trip.
Yes.
That's not like a weekend getaway
right.
kind of thing. But I mean, I guess. 5% of bachelorette parties are held in spa destinations.
Beautiful.
Prague and Amsterdam are among the top five of European destinations for bachelorette parties. More than 30% of U.S. brides have a destination bachelorette party.
That's just crazy.
30%!
That's just crazy.
Isn't that insane? When you really think about how much that has picked up popularity in the last few years, I would not have guessed 30%. I mean, I guess I would have to ask, like, if we go up north, does that count as destination? I would have to think yes, right? Like, anywhere that's not your home.
Yeah. Yeah, thankfully, I haven't had to do any crazy trips.
A destination one.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I will say, a wedding that we were both in, we did go up north for a bachelorette party. That was fine.
Yes.
But an actual trip is just... seems like a lot. Also, yeah. For as much as you ask your bridesmaids to do, I feel like expecting an entire weekend from them is asking a lot.
It is.
Assuming that it's even only like a weekend or a long weekend.
Well, but then you have to build in, like, if you're really going somewhere far away, like flights. So, like, you might have to fly on Thursday to be there Friday, Saturday, and then fly home Sunday. So, it's 4 days versus, like, an overnight where you drive up on the weekend and you, like, go up north or you go to a town or you go to whatever.
Yeah. 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 Well, and then I always, like, wonder. And, again, not something I've had to deal with. But I would be curious. And maybe I'll put a poll on Instagram for people who have done bachelor or bachelorette trips. Does everybody split the cost for the bride or groom? Or do they pay their base costs like flight, hotel, and then everybody buys them dinner and drinks while you're there? Because that's always another big question I have. Okay, you want to take a trip. Are you expecting me to help pay for your portion of it?
I will say what I got from my research was not conclusive. A lot of the, like, if you're local and you're going out to bars and stuff, you're buying for the bride.
Right, that's of course, yeah.
Destination-wise, I think a lot of what was discussed is, like, making it reasonable for everyone. So I do – my gut is saying from what I've read on this is, like, it's up to the bridal party. If you're all in maybe – like, you know, we got married when we were younger. We weren't in a position to do a $1,000 getaway.
Right.
If your bridesmaids or your – just the people you want to hang out with, I guess they're not necessarily your bridesmaids – can afford it and they want to, you, when you're doing destination, it's more about asking them to do what they can afford. And also, you, from a manners standpoint, a lot of what the Knot and other websites say is, like, if someone can't afford to do it, you can't be mad at them for not going. So I can't be like, Allie, you really have to be at my bachelorette party, even if that puts you in debt to do it.
Right.
You gotta let it, lie, or you do something else, which in that case, like, if we are going to a spa day, you're going to cover my massage. Like,
right.
Then we all chip in and cover the bride's thing. But if you're flying to Jamaica,
right,
you're not paying for that. But maybe you are, like, splitting the Airbnb or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I will say all of the research I did in terms of, like, manners and tradition is if it is local and you are doing a singular night event, you're covering
the whole cost.
The bridal person.
Yeah.
Destination is really up to the comfort of the group.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I've done bridal parties that were, we did get an Airbnb for the one night, but we were local. We just weren't in the city we lived in.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then all of us who attended was more than just the bridesmaids, but then we split the cost. And obviously, the bride doesn't need to chip in for a singular Airbnb night. Yeah. That, no biggie. But yeah, some of these trips and... although I will say a trend that I think is super fun, and again, if I'm stealing some of your stuff that you're going to bring up, I am so sorry, is these theme nights that they're now doing. I love a theme. Any reason to dress up on a theme, I'm into it. But I love this, like the one person I saw on Instagram, their theme was... like powerful women or badass women or something like that. And so the bride dressed up as Shania Twain in that leopard print crop flare thing with the cape thing. It was so good. And she had like the red wig on and the whole thing. And I do think that is fun. if it's one night, super fun, I'm going to go all in and like do my costume full out. But then when I see some of these trips, it's like every night on the trip is a different theme. So on top of the hotel and the flight, I now need an outfit for every night. Like outside of just something, unless it's stuff you can pull from your own wardrobe, then fine.
Yeah.
But I would have to have new stuff, but that's my personality.
Oh, I was gonna say, that would be half the fun for me is like getting to put the outfits together and then the rest would be the lift.
Yeah.
But I will say some of what I was going to share, and I think I'm going to keep this PG, but maybe mild earmuffs. Okay. The origination of bachelorette parties was essentially so that your more conservative family members weren't around when you were receiving more scandalous gifts. So bachelorette parties were kind of bred of your girlfriends might want to give you lingerie or other trinkets for spicing up your marital bedroom. And that was not something you wanted to open in front of your Aunt Pat or whatever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So that is kind of where bachelorette parties grew. What I will say is in doing some of my research and talking about trends of bachelorette parties, all of that has become a lot more commonplace. And a lot of cases, brides are buying some of that for themselves of like what their preference is, what their style is, whatever is comfortable in their relationship with their partner.
Yeah.
So it's really become a time to just celebrate like your friendship and supporting this next chapter. And that's kind of where the themes were born of is like, we're not taking this opportunity to give you risky endeavors.
Yeah.
We're just celebrating you and we're just here to be like, Allie, you're so great. We think you're so wonderful. And so themes were kind of the next evolution of like, we don't need this time to do these things anymore. We are now going to do something that's more about you. So a lot of the really popular ones I was seeing was like, A, there's kind of the generic, like we all dress up as Barbies or we all, I think the cute ones that I have seen that while I was looking at this, again, not ranked, not scientific, but were like, they dress up as like the groom's name. So I know like, everyone picks a Jack and then someone dresses up like as Jack Nicholson or whatever.
Right, you know? Yeah. Jack Sparrow.
Or
whatever.
Or they all dress up.
Jack Skellington, yeah.
In different phases of the bride. So it would be like Swimmer Allie and, you know, Doctor or Science Allie with like a lab coat. Yeah. And we would all do different representations of things that are
important. Yeah, that's a cute one,
or whatever. Right? It's like if you played football, we'd be Football Allie or things like that. But then I also just saw like, you know, they do like cowboy themes and just more general like overarching themes.
Right.
But I did really enjoy the ones that were about the bride and groom that were suggested. Or even just making like, if you're doing a spa day, what are all of the little things that you can do to make that feel special? I think that's cool.
I do too. And I do like that, and mild earmuffs here, at least from what I see online. Now, not obviously not online is not what is necessarily even the most popular thing. It's just what people are posting. But it seems like not quite so many penises everywhere. Like, still some peni, but it's not like explosion in your face.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
It's a classy use.
Yeah.
Subtle.
I still think bachelorette parties should at minimum at least have the penis straws because those are just hysterical.
They are. I do like the little men that hang off the side.
Oh,
of the
those are cute too. Yeah. But like, I don't want like a penis hat or a penis necklace.
No. I think we should move past this part, though.
All right. Done with penises.
Done with it. Done with it. We only really have one piece left, which is to talk about the average cost of bachelorette parties as of late. So I pulled a few pieces of data, because obviously I can't validate of my own accord. But according to one source, on average, women spend anywhere from $500 to $1,000 on bachelorette parties, not including flight costs.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah. So 37% of attendees for both bachelor and bachelorette parties report spending over six figures. No, not six figures. Four figures. Six-figure bachelorette party. We're renting the yacht.
Woo!
Over four figures on the event, with 39% of male attendees and 34% of female attendees spending four digits or more, and costs rising across all areas, including the U.S. Travel Association, showing that lodging and flights have increased by 15% since 2019.
Wow.
So if we're talking about you spending $500 to $1,000, with at least 34% of people accounting for spending all the $1,000 or more, and the increase in flights, that's a lot of money to love your friend. I mean, and I think you would do it for the right people, but I also think that contributes to probably you bringing like 5 or 6 close friends instead of like everybody.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I know like just from people I've talked to that has become a decision people have to start making. Taking away the people who are in your bridal party. Like when you do something local, you can invite all of your friends to come and whoever's available is available and whoever's not. But I had someone who had a friend who was having a bachelorette party. She wasn't in the wedding, but they were going to Nashville. And she was trying to like make that decision. And not like, do I like this friend enough, but
can I afford to do this
right now? Can I afford to do this? And also another consideration, which I think, especially for a trip, you have to think about is who do you know besides the bride?
Yes.
The bride's attention is going to be very divided. If not, then it's going to be taken up by just a few people who demand it the most, you know?
Right.
And if you don't know anybody else, to spend that much money to go do something, you're probably not going to want to do that. Or you're not going to have fun. Yeah.
That's a good point. I will say did not come up as much as like you just can't be mad at someone for not going because you're asking a lot of them. But it is a good point of like even if they can afford it, if you have a close-knit group of friends and you're the one work friend or somebody that came in maybe later to the picture, whatever that dynamic is,
right?
It can be kind of awkward.
Right.
And also when you think about a hotel or a rental or whatever, it's a lot of shared space for other humans.
Right. And if you're not someone who can afford to get your own hotel room or like it's an Airbnb or something and everybody has to share and there's not enough room for you to have your own room. I mean,
decision.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. I'm going to call this 24-hour expert-ish because this was a lot of yours and my opinions. So I just want to say this is where Allie and I stand. We support you doing you. Be mindful of the people around you. That is the data that we have on bachelorette parties. I'm going to save some of my other tidbits that I pulled out about other bridal traditions for part 2. I'll group them all together and be mildly more efficient than this. But I think that's all for tonight. So thanks for letting me talk at you.
Do with that what you will. If you have any comments, corrections, suggestions, any fun themes you want to share, you can email us at 24hourexpert@gmail.com. Spell out all the words. It's also our Instagram, Facebook, and website. You can find us there.
Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to 24 Hour Expert. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe so you'll be notified of future episodes.
Our theme song is Moonroof by Paula.